Welcome to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Meagles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in, and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Meagles. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Peter Meagles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Today is Wednesday. It's 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. on the Central Side, and we do this radio show as many Wednesdays as we possibly can with a great friend of ours. Her name is always Darlene Sartori. Darlene runs the Ideal Network. She started off as a relationship with me as a customer of ours over at the PM Marketing side many years ago. And when I first started Building Fortress Radio, I knew I needed great guest hosts, and I asked Darlene to be one of our great guest hosts, and I knew that she was a good person and a wealth of knowledge previously to doing the radio shows. But since we've been doing the radio shows, I have found that she has a wealth of knowledge that, quite honestly, we get a chance to capture parts of it over here on Building Fortunes Radio. So as we develop the legacy recordings of what's going on with Darlene and her life, and whether it's locally or internationally or whether it's domestically or philosophically, we get a chance to share these 30 minutes or so every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal, you'll be able to hear this as well as previous radio shows on Building Fortunes Radio. So I'm not sure what she's got in store for us today, but I'm always welcome to expanding my mind with whatever she's going to share with us today on our Building Fortunes Radio show. So, Darlene, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
You're fine. Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I had my – I'm going to play a video in a minute or so. And so I wanted to make sure that my phone was laying where I could pick it up off of my computer. So last week, we started off this topic of, you know, keep it simple. And, you know, I'm building some new websites for a project that has been near and dear to my heart, I guess, all of my life. And, you know, the Ideal Universal Society. You know, I often mention that I'm a Star Trek fan, and the ethics of Star Trek, when that book got published, it really got my attention, because one of the things that I've been trying to work with individuals throughout my life is helping them to find out what is their essence, what is their purpose for being here, what is it that they love to do. And this morning I had a really awesome experience that kind of put me back into, you need to get back to working a little more in depth again, like you were when you had the church open and you were working from that dynamic as a comparative chaplain. And by the way, I do have a couple little dogs in the house right now, so if they start getting a little rambunctious, which they seem to do occasionally, or start to bark, pardon that. They have been pretty good about not barking, but if somebody comes to the door or whatever, who knows? So just a warning that that's kind of something that's new, that it kind of goes along with what I'm talking about here today, is one of the things that I'm working with our great-grandchildren that are living out here on the property, is how do you, what do we do with our land? You know, what was it that you all have a real passion about doing? What do you love to do that if grandma's not here, you know, someday I'm going to graduate from the planet. What do you want to do with this land? You know, who's going to take care of it, et cetera, et cetera. So we've been exploring various different options that they might have on interest in. And in so doing, I began to get really, really, I guess I can say upset, as I was in the years when Jim and I began homeschooling our children is the children don't seem to have a purpose. They go through these schools and they are rote memorization, but they're not internalizing it. It's not something that they really feel is important to their lives. So one of the things that we started talking about was one of the things that Lindsay has a love of is dogs. And one of the oldest daughter has kind of expressed an interest in becoming a veterinarian. And so we have been looking at, okay, let's do raising a breed or some dogs on a small scale. Because, you see, most people don't know that many years ago I was in the business of breeding what we called Pomapoos. And they were, I wanted a dog that didn't shed, that was a lap dog, that was small and was cuddly and cute. And we came up with this dynamic of crossbreeding full-blooded dogs with and getting this what we called a Pomapoo. It was a Pomeranian and a poodle. And they were so cute. They were they kind of had a little bit of silkiness to their hair, but they didn't shed. And they were just the cutest little things that, and I just fell in love with them. Well, for many years we did raise Pomapoos and enjoyed it. But then I took on a challenge of almost I was an empty nester at that time, getting a and the kids were, you know, getting out of the home and et cetera. And then suddenly, after being an empty nester for a little while, I suddenly took on the full care of a newborn child. And in so doing, I just didn't have the time to be able to deal with all of the things that I was doing at that specific time, and et cetera. So I made the choice to close down the kennel part, and I've always missed that. I think one of the reasons that I loved it so much was because it was a way for individuals who were elderly, who needed a small dog that didn't have to worry about the shedding and et cetera. And it just seemed like that I had found a little purpose in life. And I got to realizing that that is an experience that so many people in today's world do not have. So today I was thinking about this. Last week we started calling it, you know, keeping this simple. Well, how could I get this across to someone? So I started doing some research, and lo and behold, things just happened to fall into my lap. This month's newsletter for the Ranchers Society had an article about something that's called logo therapy, logotherapy, and man's meaning for our search for meaning. And so I just started doing a little research, caught my attention because I said, that's exactly what I've been talking about. I have one lady that I've been working with as a client who has quite a few learning disabilities, and she wants to be a functioning part of society. But how can she do that with the challenges that she has and et cetera? So I've been working with her in my comparative chaplain profession, and, you know, this is something that I still do as again, a meaning for life. I love to help people find what their meanings are and what they love to do. And that's what Building Fortunes is all about. You know, that's exactly what it says in the very beginning on our page, is that's what we help people do, to build a fortune around what they love to do or anything that they've chosen to do. And so I was looking for a way that is already posted out on the internet to introduce people to this. And, of course, all you have to do is go to start with is to two basic sources on the Internet. Just put your word search in on the word LOGOTHERAPY, and it'll bring up quite a bit about it. There will be a Wikipedia article out there, and then there, just go to, after you read through that a little bit. But go to YouTube and type in the search bar that word, LOGOTHERAPY. And so he's going to talk about this person that founded it and a little bit about this struggle. And one of the things that he said in his book, The Unheard Cry, was the truth is that as the struggle for survival has subsided, the question has emerged. Survival for what? Even more people today have the means to live, but no meaning to live for. And since I have dealt with many families who have had suicides in their family, we know exactly what we are dealing with. People have no meaning to live, and so it's not worth living. So I thought this is something that as we move into creating the ideal universal society, we really need to pay very close attention to this dynamic. So I found there are several YouTubes out there, but I found one that is about 6 minutes and 46 seconds. So that's within our time lot that we've got here. But this is just one of them. It's not maybe the best one. But if you were looking at the audio of it for the ones I've seen so far, he does a really good job because most of us are audio and visual learners, and we need something to see as well as just hearing. And since this is a radio show, this is something that has the limitation because I'm accustomed to doing things like Zoom and internet conferencing where we can actually see what we're working and doing. And last night, as I watched Peter working with some new people with the LMS system and watched him taking people through on the screen in the GoToMeeting room, the dynamics. And so this is something that we have now the internet and we can do some work. And so I'm going to encourage you to maybe type in the word meanings or whatever. If you are not doing what you truly love to do and making money at it, this morning I have visited a place that is just exactly that. They are doing exactly what they love to do. They love to collect Jeeps and do the Jeeping and et cetera, and they have gone into the salvage and et cetera of Jeeping parts and et cetera. And it is so neat and clean and well-organized, and they just act like they're really having fun. They love to do it, and so they made their what they love to do into a very profitable business. And so this is something that we need to be working more with. So I'm going to go ahead and start this, and I'm hoping that the ad is ended and that it'll start right up with the very beginning. So here goes, and this should be 6 minutes and 46 seconds. And then Peter can maybe say some thoughts about his as he hears it. Here we go. Or do we?
This is a full 3 months of food without needing any refrigeration or special storage. You're looking at our long away.
Okay, there we go. Oh, wait a minute. This one went on to the
phenomenology. The truth is that as the struggle for survival has subsided, the question has emerged, survival for what? Even more people today have the means to live, but no meaning to live for. These are the words of Viktor Frankl, a 20th century Viennese psychiatrist, most famous for his book, Man's Search for Meaning. In that book, Frankl details his time spent as a Nazi concentration camp prisoner and reflects on how one can find meaning in life even in the harshest of conditions. Frankl, whose interest in the topic of life's meaning began as a teenager, came to the realization that while ever more people in Western nations were living lives of material comfort, all too many lived in a detrimental psychological state he called the existential vacuum, as he explained. The existential vacuum is a widespread phenomenon of the 20th century. This is understandable. It may be due to a twofold loss which man has had to undergo since he became a truly human being. At the beginning of human history, man lost some of the basic animal instincts in which an animal's behavior is embedded and by which it is secured. In addition to this, however, man has suffered another loss in his more recent development, inasmuch as the traditions which buttressed his behavior are now rapidly diminishing. No instinct tells him what he has to do, and no tradition tells him what he ought to do. Sometimes, he does not even know what he wishes to do. Instead, he either wishes to do what other people do, conformism, or he does what other people wish him to do, totalitarianism. The preponderance of people living lives absent of meaning led to the emergence of what Frankl called the mass neurotic triad. This was a term he coined to describe the three most common symptoms associated with lives lived in the existential vacuum, namely depression, aggression, and addiction. To help counter the dire effects that accompany a life without meaning, Frankl founded a school of psychiatry called logotherapy, which in Frankl's words, considers man as a being whose main concern consists of fulfilling a meaning and in actualizing values, rather than in the mere gratification and satisfaction of drives and instincts. In the remainder of this video, we will outline some of the key insights of logotherapy, insights Frankl believed could greatly assist one in living a more fulfilling life. A key tenet of logotherapy is that the pursuit of meaning, or what Frankl sometimes referred to as the will to meaning, is the primary motivational factor in humans. This can be contrasted to other schools of psychiatry which maintain that the pursuit of pleasure or the will to power are the primary factors. According to Frankl, it is when individuals fail to find meaning in their lives, turn to the dogged pursuit of pleasure or power, in the false belief that so doing will fill the void that an absence of meaning has left in them. For those who decide to pursue a more meaningful existence, Frankl emphasized that doing so did not mean searching for the ultimate meaning of life, as he put it. This ultimate meaning necessarily exceeds and surpasses the finite intellectual capacities of man. What is demanded of man is not, as some existential philosophers teach, to endure the meaninglessness of life, but rather to bear his incapacity to grasp its unconditional meaningfulness in rational terms. While the ultimate meaning of life is unknowable, Frankl held that each person had the opportunity to realize meaning in their life at a personal level, and so doing would greatly improve the quality of their life. It should be noted that Frankl did not believe that individuals created such meaning. Rather, he believed it was discovered and was present in every living moment, whether one was aware of it or not. As he put it, "I am convinced that in the final analysis, there is no situation that does not contain within it the seed of a meaning." In order to discover and realize these personal seeds of meaning, Frankl suggested that for most people a change of attitude is required. We need to stop asking about the meaning of life and instead to think of ourselves as those who are being questioned by life daily and hourly. Our answer must consist not in talk and meditation, but in right action and right conduct. Life ultimately means the responsibility to find the right answers to its problems and to fulfill the tasks which it constantly sets for each individual. Frankl stressed that as unique individuals, meaning will present itself in different ways to each person. Each of us face different situations in our lives, some of which are more and some of which are less under our control and influence. Frankl's belief was that no matter what fate brought, if one took appropriate action and adopted the right attitude to the situation, a meaningful life could be realized. In a passage in Man's Search for Meaning, Frankl nicely distinguished how actualizing personal meaning differs from the search for abstract answers to life's meaning. To put the question of the meaning of life in general terms would be comparable to the question posed to a chess champion. Tell me, master, what is the best move in the world? There simply is no such thing as the best or even a good move apart from a particular situation in a game and the particular personality of one's opponent. The same holds for human existence. One should not search for an abstract meaning of life. Everyone has his own specific vocation or mission in life to carry out, a concrete assignment which demands fulfillment. As Frankl notes, often the best way to live a life rich with meaning is to find one's unique vocation. Nothing contributes more to the feeling of a meaningless existence than boredom, and nothing counters feelings of boredom better than having a specific mission to carry out in one's life. In this respect, Frankl was fond of quoting Nietzsche's famous passage that, "He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how." Finding one's why was, according to Frankl, the best way to live a meaningful and therefore fulfilling life. However, for some, adopting a vocation and striving to achieve the goals associated with it is beyond their reach. Instead, some people face situations which they have little control over, situations which can cause immense suffering, such as being diagnosed with a terminal illness or, in Frankl's case, being imprisoned in a concentration camp. But even in such situations, as Frankl discovered firsthand, one has the opportunity to find meaning. And we will conclude this video with a passage which reflects this important belief of Frankl's. We must never forget that we may also find meaning in life even when confronted with a hopeless situation, when facing a fate that cannot be changed. For what then matters is to bear witness to the uniquely human potential at its best, which is to transform a personal tragedy into a triumph, to turn one's predicament into a human achievement. When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves.
Okay, now let's see if I can stop this from going any further. And
I'm going to call it right now. I think I found.
Okay, so if we go to the YouTube, you will find that just typing in, and if anybody wants a link to where I got this one from, I'll be glad to send it to you. Just send me an email at idealnetworkprojects@gmail.com. Again, idealnetworkprojects@gmail.com. And I will share with you some of the things that I am putting together in this course that I think is very helpful. You can go to Noetic, N-O-E-T-I-C channel, and there is an interview there with Frankl, and being able to hear Victor talking and et cetera, but his is a little bit longer than what I had to be able to do on this radio show. So I wanted to just give you a little background of what we are talking about, because this is the foundation of where Jim and I decided that our children were not getting what they needed in education and et cetera, and we began homeschooling and et cetera, but because they weren't getting a personalized education, a personalized educare, where we could observe them and see what they actually need. What makes them happy? What were their talents, their skills? What are their weaknesses? So that we could address them on a personal level. And right now, we feel like that what we discovered and many others discovered in the era of the 70s, the 80s, etc., when our civilization was making some major, major changes with the generation that was born in the World War II era, the 40 to 50 era, 1940 to 1950 era, those children have really not gotten that firsthand personalized education that was vital and was part of what made America so great. I've often said this, and it is the core dynamic of understanding why we can build a civilization that is an ideal civilization in which to live. It is because it's based upon the family-owned and operated businesses, the family-owned and operated farms, where the families worked around a core dynamic. Maybe, like I said, farming, and maybe they were raising animals, or maybe they were farming other types of situations, but they worked on a project where all of the children were involved by whatever age they were and whatever abilities. And in the process, they began to naturally discover what they love to do. And this is what we've left out of our lifestyles right now with our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. And this is why we have such a high level of addictions and depression and et cetera that ends up in suicide, or even worse, them actually harming other people out of their misery. So, we have a few minutes left. Peter, do you have anything you wanted to say along this line and how we might be able to be of help with both the Building Fortunes and the LMS program?
Mm, Not yet, only because I had never really heard of this logotherapy before. So as someone who had never heard of it before, I was trying to figure out how does therapy work with a logo. And it's really not logo, it's logos, which is the Greek word for meaning.
Thank you.
So for all those people that are thinking that this is just a marketing spin, logotherapy has nothing to do with, you know, your Mercedes-Benz emblem or whatever, Nike checkmark or anything else like that. So that's what kind of got me a little bit distracted when you mentioned that. I'm like, okay, let me jump into this. And I said, where am I going to find some notes for this and do the YouTube stuff? And I went to Wikipedia and started reading a little bit about this, and fascinated by Viktor Frankl, of course, and by the meaning of life, and that everybody has a meaning of life no matter where they are. And this is something that's very perplexing to me, because I was previously reading a little bit earlier how in this, so this is a total tangent, how in the state of New York, there's no prison time for people that wind up shoplifting less than $1,000. And there are drug stores and other stores actually shutting down in the state of New York, or in New York City, because they have been shoplifted so many times. There was one Rite Aid down in Hell's Kitchen that estimated their loss to shoplifting over $200,000 this past 2 months, and they're shutting down.
Wow.
And I said,
wow.
I said to myself, think about the logic or the thinking of the guy who is, you know, taking a paper bag or burlap bag or whatever and clearing out a shelf, and what is he or she doing, and what is her real philosophy of their meaning of life? And it'd be real easy to form a judgment, but as you read through the article, you see what these people are doing with the stuff that they steal. Sometimes they steal laundry detergent and run across, or dishwashing detergent and run across to a local restaurant and unload it over there. So for them, the store that they're stealing from is just a supplier, if you will. And it's really very interesting. So when we speak about logotherapy, I try to think about an elevated thought process of life. And some people have that, and they go through their – that's what keeps them going. And I think about the other people that probably don't think about this stuff at all, and I'm really kind of perplexed on this whole concept. So you're kind of tickling my fancy for learning this stuff at the time where I probably needed it, you know, as far as some reasonable explanations to figure this stuff out. Because the guy stealing in the, you know, Hell's Kitchen drugstore – eventually shutting down the shop is also hurting the whole community and a whole bunch of other things. So really, what is his meaning of life? And trying to fit all this stuff together to try to figure out how we as a human species kind of still figure this out and make it work one way or another. So all of the different needs, all of the different people, all of the different races, classes, subclasses, however you want to kind of label them, all this logos therapy, the meaning of life, or the meaning of their life, is fascinating to me. So very fascinating. And just one last thing, and I know we're going to go over time. You know, sometimes you just listen to a lot of stuff and you have a collision of ideas. We had a gentleman who does a radio show with us on Friday. Jim Turner passed away yesterday. And Jim Turner was in his late 70s. He had had a heart attack, so he was struggling with a weakened heart, and he died of a heart attack, and I got the phone call from his significant other, and I just think about the void that happens when someone like Jim Turner passes, or when people like you, Darlene, pass, and part of it is that I take a look at, and me too, hopefully I could throw myself in that same group, but I take a look at what we're doing here on Building Fortunes Radio as being a library of thoughts, but there's also some people that put their stories into a Library of Congress. So believe it or not, there's a website, it's blogs.loc.gov, where people are making audio recordings of themselves and storing it, like we're going to call it forever, in the Library of Congress. So when it comes to these types of things and you want to kind of lay down the track of your meaning for your life, all this sort of stuff kind of just fits. So still, I think everybody's still trying to figure it out. But especially now when there's so much questioning of what's going on, I think this stuff is even more important for your own personal decisions more than ever before. So thanks for sharing that with me. And I'll let you close it up. But we lost a good one. With Jim, when you know another Jim, there you go. There's something about that name.
Yeah, there's another Jim. Wow. We just lost so many Jims out of our lives, haven't we?
Yep, significant ones as well. So there you go.
I did not know that. Thank you for sharing that with the audience, and please do go and listen to his channel. He has a lot to offer. The reason that I see that building fortunes in LMS will help, but we can do, is to help individuals to really find out what they love to do and then how we can help them to get into marketing that idea or developing it. And I think that so many things that we have in the back office already, there's lots of tools that help us to help individuals to develop their inner circle of people. And this is where I think on that word, inner circle of people, because we need to get our children, and everyone needs to do this, but this is where their kids are lacking in getting reality-based inner circles of people to work with. I like the school systems that have you work with one teacher on a more integrated method than having 100 different teachers you're dealing with in a time, because they don't really get to know you personally. And this is where I think our children are really missing. They're not being heard. And so they grow into children that become adults that are not being heard. And I think that the method that you use in teaching people how to use something keeps it simple so that they can do this. And we need to replicate this even more. So we'll be talking more and more about some of the things that you might and resources that you might find that can help you to discover your dynamics, your life purpose. And that's probably one of the areas that I'm going to branch off of with the Arantia Papers teaching, because that's what my year is going to be really working with, is really simplifying the dynamics of those 196 papers. And so I will talk, and we're geared to launch on the 1st of March, because remember, marching forward, we use the calendar that the Moors use, and the first of the year starts as March the 21st, when the spring is, which makes common sense. So we're talking about correcting time, and this is basically what this year is all about, is really starting to seriously make the corrections that we need to make on this planet so we can each achieve what we love to do and bring the values to the planet. So we did go over, and thank you, Peter, for letting us go over. Back to you.
Okay, perfect. We're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortress Radio. Go to buildingfortressradio.com/ideal, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network so you can say, I live the ideal life, where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.